This is Spiritual Civilization, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the name of God. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this installment of Spiritual Civilization. My name is Robbie Omol, and I shall be your host for today. So today, to my right, I have Pastor Evans, the man himself, Prophet Ochin, Stormzy. We call him, we have very many wonderful names for him. And he's my brother from another mother. And we are so happy to have you here for this episode. So before we start with, and by me handing over to Bishop, I'd like us to pray and then we can begin. Father, we exalt you, we worship you, we magnify you. We thank you for the peace, the grace, and the mercy that you have shown us, O God, that you have bestowed upon us, O God, and enabled us to become brethren. For we were once not a people, but now we are your very own people. And we are grateful for that. We are grateful that, Lord, we are able to come together and just share and learn from you and hear from your spirit and break bread together so that we may build each other up in you.
Yes.
I pray that, Father, that as you minister to us, may each and every person who is listening receive your spirit, receive your truth, and be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
So right now I would like to hand over to Bishop Kobanga J.O.
Ladies and gentlemen, I take this opportunity to say welcome to Spiritual Civilization. The one thing that I'd like to state is that I may not be very active in the conversation today because I am feeling unwell. So in case you don't hear much from me, just know very well that the two panelists who are present today, they'll be able to, you know, converse with us. So today we are looking at the topic, the name of God. The name of God. And probably I'll begin by asking you, Rob, what do you understand by that statement, the name of God? What is your basic understanding?
So right off the bat, a name denotes identity, denotes who or what a person or a thing is. And now when we say the name of God, God already in and of itself is already another description of a being. But now when we say the name of God, we are putting a specification on who exactly we are talking about, because we know and understand that in this world, many people have their own idea of who God is, and they have their own notion, and some even have many gods. Others have few gods, others have one God, but it is not the same God whom we are talking about. So the name of God gives us is a topic that once we dive into, it's introducing us to, we're going to specify who God really is.
Thank you, Bishop. So I think the name of God basically denotes his nature, basically denotes his attributes, who he is. And I think just to underscore, there's actually a huge difference between a name and a label. So a label is something that is given to you, not by God necessarily, but by society, or let me say by humanity. And it may not necessarily align to your identity, because society has various ways of labeling us. I think as men, there's a certain label that we have been given by society that does not really resonate with how God actually sees man. And it's the same case even for women as well. There's a certain label that the society has given them that is basically, it's basically been given based on the context or the culture in which man is actually placed in. So I feel like the name, the best way to define the name of God is basically who he is, his attributes. It basically describes everything that pertains to the culture of God. And I also feel like there's really no syllable that can best describe the entirety of God's attributes. All we can do is basically give God a name based on the revelation that we have, the personal revelation that we have. And revelation is in part. So whatever names that we give of God do not basically represent the summation or the entirety of who God is.
Of course, I believe Philippians 2. Verse 9 is a very important scripture to consider. Maybe, Rob, you can read for us that scripture. Philippians 2, 9.
Yes. So this is the amplified version. For this reason also, because he obeyed and so completely humbled himself, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in submission of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Verse 11, and that every tongue will confess and openly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, sovereign God, to the glory of God the Father.
Now, maybe just to share, the name of Jesus is not necessarily Jesus. I know that scripture talks about in the name of Jesus, but when you study it in the in line with other scriptures that talk about the name of God, the name of Jesus is not necessarily Jesus. Just to use your words, a name denotes identity. Okay. Now, Jesus is not the identity.
Yes.
It is Jesus is not the name that gives him identity. If anything, from that particular scripture, we are able to attest that Jesus' real identity as God was actually revealed after his resurrection. And that's why the Bible captures as him being given a name. Now, that name that Jesus was given is the full revelation of God as he is without the limitations of flesh. The full revelation of God as he is. The name Jesus is not a letter-oriented name. Okay? This is basically a spiritual, or rather a spirit identity that can only be revealed in the heart of man. It is not something that somebody else has to tell you. You have to capture it within your being. And the name of God is not a name that you necessarily pronounce. This is a name that you bear. You don't pronounce it. The revelation of the name of Jesus is not attached to any earthly reference. Because Jesus does not originate from the earth. Jesus originates from the Father. That's what we know. And that's why when we are referring to his name, we are not talking about Jesus. We are talking about his identity.
Yeah.
Because a name is basically, you know, who you are and what you can do. Because, you know, in the realms of God, the name of anything is not what is called. That's something what you must know. The realities in the realms of God are not identified based on what they are called, but they are identified by what they are named. So there's a difference between calling and naming. That's why I say that a name in the realm of God is who you are and what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
That means that the true definition of someone is his inner identity and inborn capacity. So looking at it now in the context of God, we are talking about the inner identity of God and the fullness of capacity. It is not a binomial nomenclature. Okay? That is not what we see. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And just to help you understand, the animal that is known as a lion is not the name of that animal that roars in the wild, in the realm of God. A lion is actually a species of creation that mirrors divine dominion and governing power over territory. That's why you find that Jesus is normally referred as the lion from the tribe of Judah. It has the ability to roar louder than any other beast. It is strong, it is fearless and bold. That's the truth of the matter. A lion does not have to roar to prove that it's a lion.
Yeah.
Even when it doesn't roar, it is still a lion.
Mm-hmm.
God does not have to do anything to prove that he's God.
Yeah.
He is God even when he doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So over to you.
I find your statements very interesting. Interesting because I've been studying Romans. I'm still in chapter one. But there's a part where in Romans chapter 1 where it says, verse 4, and as to his divine nature, according to the spirit of holiness, was openly designated to be the Son of God with power in a triumphant and miraculous way by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So here we see the Spirit declaring Jesus to be something. It's as though the Spirit was giving identity to Jesus because of the finished work of the cross. But based on what you are saying, this reality was already there. The declaration was not for Jesus, it was for us. It was for us to see that truly this is the Son of God, that truly this is the Messiah. It was not to tell Jesus, now you are the Son of God, because Jesus already knew before the beginning or before even all of creation, he already knew who he was. And that is why we read in another scripture that he was crucified before the foundation of the earth. So when we look at the name of God, we're looking at a reality of everything that he is in terms of what he has, whatever we see right now is just a revelation, and it is for us, it is just a revelation of who he is from the future, even unto the past. It is not what he does that defines who he is. He is who he is. Mm. That's why he even spoke to Moses and said, I am who I am. Because the reality is that it is not in what God will do or not do that defines who he is. We are able to, what he does just reveals to us as humans who he is. Because if I bring it home to now the natural, how I get to know Evans is not by his thoughts. I get to know Evans by his actions. So if I get to know Evans by his actions, it means that the same way I get to know God because I have seen what he has done. But God in and of himself, God has the aspects of him that we do not see or know. And those aspects still encompass his identity and who he is. So that's why we will go through life and constantly navigate our faith and still get to know the name of God day by day, by day, by day. It's not, we do not know the name of God in an instant. We know the name of God as though it's an echo. Each and every day we have a revelation and we see the name of God. So that's my input on this.
That's really interesting, because I think a lot of believers are invoking the name of Jesus, you know, without actually knowing what exactly it means. So I'm crossing the road and then a car is about to hit me and then I'm like, oh, Jesus, you know, but in a sense, okay, it may appear innocent, but a lot of people don't actually know the power behind the name they're actually invoking.
Yeah.
And I think it makes me realize how names in our context, in the worldly context, have been reduced to just a way of identifying someone physically. Like the moment I see Rob's face, I know it's Rob, so I will call him Rob. There's no way I'll confuse Rob with Bishop at any point, because physically speaking, they actually look different. And I think when you now look at it from the spiritual realm, there's a certain name that has been given to each and every person that is very, very distinct in the realms of the spirit. And it's not really based on, like, now the fact that my name is Evans, or the fact that I have a title before my name, so I'm called Pastor Evans. But that pastor title in itself, there's a certain thing that it represents in the spirit. And when you go into what that thing represents, you now begin to talk about dimensions. You begin to talk about expression. You begin to talk about function. And there's so many layers in it. So I feel like sometimes as humanity, it's very easy for us to be very superficial with the idea of what exactly a name represents. A name is not just in the title of something that now you think, because I'm called Back Left Reverend or Back Front Reverend, that now there's power in that particular title. It's not really in the title, but it's actually in the function and the expression of something. And I like what Bishop has actually said about a lion, that it's not really in the name of the lion, but it's in the function and the expression that the lion is able to carry, such that the lion knows very well that it is not a cat. So you'll not find it just meowing left, right, and center. Or bleating like a sheep. Like, you'll never see it doing that, because of the fact that it has a unique expression and it has a unique function. And by virtue of the fact that it was created to do a certain thing and operate within a certain context, then it will never go against that particular law or order.
Yeah, you know, God identifies everything from the standpoint of who they are and what they can actually do. And that is why, you know, the meaning of your true name is your organic position as well as the corresponding disposition. That's the truth. Your name is not Evans or Rob. Your name is actually your position. Your organic position, your pristine position and corresponding disposition. In as much as, okay, this is not to mean that we discard the name tags that are attached to everyone, including animals. But we must look at things from God's perspective. God judges things from the posture of what they are and their abilities. That is the truth of the matter. And that's why we must understand that Christ himself is the embodiment of the Godhead. That's the truth of the matter. When the Bible says, let us make man in our image and let them have dominion, you must understand who is man in spiritual lingo. Man is basically the revelation of God. Over to you guys.
And it's interesting, because I think you mentioned, Bishop, that your name is your pristine position. And I think it clarifies this scripture that says we are seated in Christ, with Christ in heavenly places. Because I realize the fact that it's not so much about what happens in the physical realm. I think we can get so caught up with the day-to-day of I go to work, I'm employed in my place of work, or I run a business, or I'm in school. But then we actually forget what is the greater purpose as to why we are actually living. And I think it's the reason as to why Christ or God gave the instruction that we should come to the place where we have dominion in Genesis. Because that instruction in itself bears so many layers in as far as how man was expected to function is concerned. So there's a way that man is functioning that is limited to a great extent because they're operating in the manner of the flesh. Yet God is calling man to a place where they ascend and they perceive who the man in the second heavens is. Because that man in the second heavens has a particular name that they're supposed to be addressed by. And when you as a person are able to perceive who that man in the second heavens is and invoke that name on a daily basis, so that it's not just a one-off, that today is Sunday, so I'm invoking that name in church, but even in my day-to-day, that when I go to the office, people are seeing a semblance of some form of conformance as to who this man in the second heavens is.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I find that also very interesting because what you've said about position, it now makes it clear that even when we see people saying, in the name of Jesus, I cast this demon out, I cast this demon out, in the name of Jesus, and the demons are not leaving. The reason I'm understanding this very well because when we have to understand our position in the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus, the name of God, is a position. It's a place. It is a realm in the spirit where we stand and we have authority. Because the authority that has been given to Christ, he has now given to us who are his disciples, who are his followers, his children. We who have been given the right to be called sons of God. And when we stand in that name, that is where we have power. You don't even have to say in the name of Jesus. The enemy will see you and will flee because you understand where you stand. You know where you are.
Yeah.
Things begin to align in your life based on the will and the purpose of God because of the position that you're in. Mm. That's why I'm even understanding sometimes when Bishop, you tell us, I'm not finding you in the spirit. It's because you as a person, we sometimes find ourselves walking out of our position in the name of Christ. Mm. And that is why when we come into fellowship, you find that I can't read you, I can't find you, because the fellowship that we have is not in words, it is in the spirit.
Mm.
So where are you positioned? Are you positioned in the name of Jesus or are you outside? Because even everywhere we read in scripture, in him we find redemption. In him we have found salvation. In him there is authority. We have to begin to analyze and decode that in him because it is a place. The name of God is a position where we are able to receive the treasures, the gifts, the goodness of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. All that flows when you're positioned in the name. And that is why even when we baptize people into the name. We don't baptize in water. The water is a symbol of what is actually happening in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, you're being baptized into the name. And that is why we die with Christ and we are raised with him.
Yeah.
Because we now take that nature. We now take the name and the identity. This is why even Paul speaks of how I have taught you, imitate me. Christ desires that we are able to imitate him.
Mm.
So that, and in that is where you see your identity is really springing forth. your identity in Christ.
Yeah.
That is how this whole conversation is actually bringing us a lot into the gospel.
Yeah.
And how the and what the gospel really is. That great exchange, that great transfer. Because we, at the cross, we gave him our name and we took on his. And sin was crushed. Mm. Because the name that we had had the nature of sin. But now, instead of you being Saul, you are now Paul. Your name has changed. Instead of you being Abram, you are now Abraham, a father of many nations. Instead of you being Jacob, you are now Israel. It is, all these symbols are to show us the reality that's actually happening with us and the name of God. Yeah.
You know, the knowledge of Christ is beyond knowing him as Jesus Christ. It is realizing his true essence as God and also in your own heart. In other words, this thing is something that must emanate from your heart as an individual, you know? Because the name of Jesus that he bears, according to the scripture we read, this is a name that can only be received by revelation and not religion.
Yeah.
And you know, we must also understand something. The name of Jesus must also become your name.
Mm.
Until it becomes your name, you will not know him.
Wow. Mm.
Because remember, we are talking about identifying our position in him.
Mm.
Now, our position in Christ is actually our position.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because remember, everything that Jesus Christ died for was so that we may be able to partake of what he died for us.
Yeah.
That's why we are seated with him in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers.
Mm.
So the name of the Lord is a strong tower that you and I must run into and occupy our position in that strong tower. Because in the strong tower of the name of the Lord, we find safety. Yeah.
Mm.
I think taking it from the name of Jesus must become your name. I think that has also demystified the idea that we are called to become Christ-like. I think that's exactly what Christ actually meant when he said that we are called to become Christ-like, such that it's not just positional, it's not just because I'm a believer and because the Bible says so, but it's actually something that's very, very practical and dynamic. Such that in each and every season and in each and every situation that you may find yourself in, that even as you try and ponder through solutions, as you try and figure out how to navigate various seasons, that the hallmark of that experience that you're basically going through is actually the name of Christ and you being able to adopt that name. And I think it also goes to show the importance of just being in that space where you're able to perceive what is a label and what is a name. Because also the world has also been able to come up with various labels to term who Jesus is. I mean, I think it's as crazy as some people saying and arguing that Jesus was black or Jesus was white or Jesus was Chinese or he was Japanese. And there's so many things out there that people are trying to propagate. But at the end of the day, Jesus is basically God. And his desire is for us to be able to come to that place where we not only adopt his name, but we also adopt his culture. We adopt his perspective. We adopt his mindset and his way of doing things. So that in the event that we are faced with challenging situations, we are able to respond the way Christ would in those situations.
Mm. Yeah, it's very interesting what you just shared, Evans, because one of the things that really stands out is the, like, just based on what even Bishop has shared, is that we need to have a mindset that we have real that we realize that the life that we are now living is not our own life. If we have truly taken our position in the name of God, the name of Jesus is now our name, then we have to realize that the life that we're now living is not our own. And that is why, it even explains why we struggle a lot with our faith. It's because we do not really have this understanding. Jesus was a perfect example of how we are now supposed to live our lives. We live our lives by faith. We live our lives carried along by the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit tells us to go, we go. Whatever the Spirit tells us to do, we do. And that becomes our nature, that becomes our lifestyle. Now, the struggle that we have is we want to take the principles of God, we want to take the goodness of God, we want to take the pleasures of God and incorporate them in our earthly name, in our nature that we were born with.
Yeah.
And that is where the struggle in our faith comes. There was a time I asked our community, what if we just did what God said? If it's just that simple, whatever revelation we study and we grasp and we are able to understand, what if we just did that? We would be able to realize exactly what we're talking about today, our position in the name of God. That is why when we were younger, there's this wristband we used to have for what would Jesus do, WWJD. And I'm now understanding, like, the thought behind it was very good, because in what we used to be told as children is, whenever you get to any situation, ask yourself, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
And it's because we are no longer living our own life. We are now making our decisions, our thought patterns, our motives, our actions, our beliefs, our expression must be that of the Son of God. It must be. And that is why holiness really digs deep into your motives, because you can pretend all you want to be like Jesus, but you have no position in the name. You really have no position. And that is very important in our walk of faith. We have to really understand our position in the name of God. So at this moment, I'd like to introduce one of us, our chairman, Mr. Leli Mandela, just to bring him in and bring him up to speed. Leli, we are talking about the name of God. And we began actually by reading it was Philippians chapter 2 from verse 9, whereby, let me just read it so that you're able to capture Philippians chapter 2 from verse 9. It says, for this reason also, because he obeyed and so completely humbled himself, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in submission of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess and openly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, sovereign God, to the glory of God the Father. And I will ask you what Bishop asked all of us. What do you understand when we say the name of God? Just that statement. What do you understand when we say the name of God?
Good evening, people. Good afternoon, good morning, whichever part of the world you are in. I am glad to be here. And seated in a very special seat, but I am happy to be here. What do I understand by the name of God? When I thought about it, I thought about the name being, I'd say the description of his character, attitude, the personality, and even the intents of God.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is assuming that I have the same mind that I had when God gave me the name of my children. So, for example, when you say the first one that he'll be called king, I understand that that is goes to his personality, his character, his destiny, but of course can't talk about the destiny of God, but understanding that the intent of God is for this person to be a person of dominion. So when it comes to the name of God, of course now reading in concert with that scripture, you understand that that name he gave Jesus speaks of the intent of God for Christ, that Christ, as even read together with I think Colossians 1, that Christ is elevated above every other name, is elevated in this age and the ages to come,
yeah.
In every dominion and every sphere that we have existing and yet to come, that he has preeminence over all creation.
Mm.
So I think the name of God, besides his authority, is also his character, his intent, his the description of, you know, holiness, being set apart for myself as God. What makes me God?
Mm.
Mm.
Yes, that's what, how I'd answer that question.
Mm, nice. I think you've brought in a nice dimension. One of the things that I was thinking about is, why does God put importance in our own name? What does that speak of now, his own name?
Mm.
Why does God put an importance? Because we've come to a place where we see throughout scripture, we see God speaking to Abram and telling him, you will no longer be called Abram, you will be called Abraham.
Yeah.
A father of many nations. He speaks to Jacob and tells him, because you have contended with God and have been victorious, you shall no longer be Jacob, you are now Israel. Mm. He's very particular about the name that Jesus would have, Emmanuel, God with us. Very particular about, like, when we look at someone like Jabez, who was from a lineage of misfortune and problems, and even his own name meant that, and then he speaks to God and there's a transformation, there's a change. You know, like, we look at and there are so many more examples. There's an importance that even when we look at from Saul to Paul, who Saul was, Saul meaning a big one and Paul meaning little one, he decreased when he came into Christ. So when we look at all that, how God orchestrates all that, what does that speak of when about him, about now God himself? What do you think? What do you guys think?
That is a very interesting question. Let me start from the human perspective.
Yeah.
When you have a name and I go around announcing, I am so and so, I am Mr. Lilia, Mr. Mandela, what happens is that, of course, the name introduces you. It gives people the idea of the person. It announces to the people the character of who you are supposed to be. Or, for example, going back in the olden days, people used to have two names because I am Leli son of, and you'd find like you'd see with a lot of Westerners and Americans, somebody is called Smith because they have come from a lineage of blacksmiths. Or they are called even in Eastern, in the Middle East, and or I'm called maybe let's say rice because I come from a family of generation of rice farmers or whatever. So it also describes the kind of quote unquote calling or career somebody may have. So coming now to if I have a name, it introduces to people what I should be doing, if I may so speak. Not only physically, but also spiritually. For example, Nikki, bad example, if I used to have a teacher called Mr. Nyangao, of course I would never... I'll never name my kid that, but for those of us in Kenya, you know that means a hyena, and a hyena is not a very pleasant character.
Yeah.
And obviously now that even manifests in even how he treated other students. He was very wild, if I may say. He was very aggressive and you know all that. So, and you also, your name also can give you a limitation.
Yeah.
Or it can cause you to have breakthrough.
It's true.
So when we are speaking now about the name of God, we are talking about the name of God, his name describes also to an extent the infinite possibilities that are in him. That's what I say about the name of God. So one of the ways to look at it is it describes the infinite possibilities that are in him. It describes renewal of life, it describes eternity, it describes wholesomeness, and all those things. So that's how I'd if that's the importance that the name of God has. If we realize or we start capturing what God's name is, or we start now have an understanding, that's why at different times we'd see. When he spoke to, was it Moses? He said that to Abraham, I appeared to him as Jehovah something, but to you now I appear as another name. So for all this time, since the time of Abraham, people knew God as Jehovah.
Yeah.
Jireh, I believe. Then when he came to the Israelites and came to Moses, now gives him another name about him that describes another character and personality of God.
Yeah.
And the more we explore the name of God, the more now, as a fond Rob explaining, we start now getting deep into the character of God. We are now taking on the name of God. What are we also taking in about God? What aspects of him are we taking in? Yeah. When I look at the name of God and the name I have, I should not be limited. Now that I'm a new believer, I should not be limited by the name I have. I should now take on the name of God and take upon the boundless possibilities that are in that name.
Yeah.
I think also just to echo what he's saying, I think every name has an origin. And when you consider like the names that we have, there's a place that our parents were coming from that basically motivated them to give us the names that we have. I think in our context, and especially in our community, as we all know, most of the parents in our community, they've given testimonies about how the Spirit of God spoke to them, or they had a dream and God was able to show them the exact, not just the name, but also what does that name represent? And in light of that name that was given to the parents, what is this child supposed to be in the future? And that is now what informed the name. But now in the context of Christ, Christ has no beginning and he has no end. That's basically the origin, which basically shows that he is above any human being that you can possibly consider. Meaning that in a way, he is the only person that humanity was designed to be subservient to, in a sense. So when I consider the whole aspect of names, I also consider the place of origins. Labels as well also have origins. And I think, as I said earlier on in the broadcast, I had said that labels originate from the context of society. Mm. So if society are from a particular culture, then they will give a certain name to a person or a certain label. They'll say you are stupid because you do certain things in a way that does not perhaps align to their expectations or their perspective of what wisdom is supposed to look like. So they will give you that as a label. And it's the same thing in the context of even the names that we have been given by our parents, that you find someone being called Ondiek, for example, you know, and something like that, representing a hyena, of course, something like that would probably, as this child grows up, and you know, it's very, very subtle, but as this child grows up and as they come of age and they begin to discover who they are in a subtle manner, that essence or that behavior of the hyena is slowly being imprinted into their minds without them actually knowing, you know. So there's a lot of power in names, because names also have the power to invoke a certain sense of virtue into the life of someone. So if for example, as Leli said, because Leli's son is called King, so there's an essence, there's this virtue, there's this culture of a king that the child will basically grow up with by virtue of the name that they have given. And that is the reason as to why names are very important. So the easiest way for me to understand my name, not Evans, as it were, but my name in accordance to how the Spirit of God calls me, is to first have a revelation of what the name of God is.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I now relate with God in light of the personal revelation that I have of who He is.
And let me also say something. Names propagate an energy. Or the same way our words propagate energies, you know. If, for example, very good example of if you call somebody stupid, even though they are not stupid, but if you repeat it over a while, we don't understand it, but they start becoming stupid. Because a certain virtue is being released by the speaking of words. That's why even that name we give them is important. Even the name of God is important, because even I'd say even reading the Bible and repeating, meditating on it, that's why we are commanded to meditate on the word of God. The more you meditate on it, the more it releases the virtue of the word in it. So how much more even when you meditate on the name of God? I am taking on the name of God. What is the name of God? What is the character of God? The more I meditate on it, the more I speak about it, I start becoming it. That is why that thing of that aspect of a name is so important.
I think just to add on to your perspectives, there's something that as we've just been talking, that I've started to also realize the name that we have, the name that we carry, and it's not Rob or Evans or Leli, but the name that we have, that name is what propels, like it's what denotes, like it's what tells us our purpose, the purpose of God for our lives here on earth. And this is where I get this. We see, let's take Jacob for example. Name was changed to Israel, and that was a representation of what Christ was doing at that time. So Jacob's name in Christ is Israel. I don't know if you get you get where I'm going with this. So what we need to understand is, what is your name in Christ? Because the whole idea that God has is His name is above every other name. So when you take on that name, the name of Jesus, when Leli becomes Jesus, Rob becomes Jesus, Evans becomes Jesus, what ends up happening is the world around us, as we function, begins to see that the name of Christ is exalted above every other name.
Yeah.
Because the expression that we carry is no longer our own expression, but the expression of Christ. So the so that's where I'm glad that we have been blessed to learn about names and who God is. Now that we are when we're getting our children, because we're giving them names according to the purpose that they will have for the span of life that they will have. And whatever they will achieve is what Christ is achieving in that time, in that generation. Whatever we are achieving right now in our lifespan is what Christ is achieving. That needs to be, that is how the name of God is revealed to the earth. Because I only know your name by what you do.
So
how will people know the name of God? People will know the name of God when they see his works. And Christ has empowered us to do greater works than what he did. Therefore, when we take his name, we are able to continue. We are able to reveal the name of God to the whole world. We're able to reveal. And that's the mandate of the church. You remember when Jesus was asking the disciples, who do these people say that I am? Some say you are a prophet. Some say you are Elijah. But who do you say? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus tells him that this flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, because whatever flesh and blood reveals cannot touch base, cannot fulfill the plan and purpose of God. By Peter understanding who Jesus was, he took on, remember what Jesus said about that very revelation. It is what Peter took on as his mission. He became the head of the church. Upon this rock I will build my church. He became the head, not because of who Peter is, because we all know Peter and his failures and we can say all those things, but because he understood his position in the name, he understood his mandate. He was able to understand what he was meant to do. And that is exactly the same thing that happens with Paul when he changes his name to from Saul to Paul. You see, he understands his mandate. He even tells the believers not to weep, for he's going to die. He tells them, this is my purpose. I understand it very well. I am, of course, it is something that is not, it's not something that you welcome, that you are just welcoming death, or let me just go and die. No, of course he did not want to die, but he understood that as he was leaving to go to this last city, that This is what God has intended for his life. He was able to see clearly the path of his life because of his position in the name. I really believe if we understand our position in the name of Jesus, if we take on the name of Jesus, the name of our Lord, a lot of things in our life will begin to make sense.
That's true.
You will not even struggle to make certain decisions that God is telling you to do, because you have now understood the kind of life and the kind of path you ought to take. I don't know what you guys have to say.
I think for me, what you're saying is really, really powerful, because I realized, so we've been talking about the name of God, but I realized that we also say a lot of times that I'm doing this for God, you know, and we say that we are doing things for God, but we don't know what exactly we mean when we say we are doing things for God. And a lot of times we say that, but then if you really check the heart of the matter, you realize that someone is saying that they're doing something for God, but they're doing something because they want to be seen. Because they want to receive the praise, they want their reputation to become better, they want to receive accolades from people and praises. And I realized how, for many of us, and I think even this goes out to the body of Christ, that a lot of times, even as the body, we are very active in ministry. We do so many things. We even give to the church. We say we are doing this in the name of the Lord. We give our tithes, we give our offerings, yet we don't even know the God that we're actually giving to. And the God that we are basically serving. And I realize how that in itself is an aspect that shows that we are lacking insofar as a relationship with God is concerned. Mm. Because how do you serve a God that you do not know? How do you give offerings and tithes to a God that you actually are not even cognizant of, even in your day-to-day life? Because if people were cognizant about the presence of God in their lives, there are certain things that they'd not do. There are certain decisions they would not make. There are certain people that they'd not be spending time with. And it just goes to show how there's a lot that is ailing in the body of Christ, that there's a way we have perceived service and we think that we are doing God a favor by serving him. Yet he doesn't need us to do that for him. We're doing it just by his grace and by his mercies because he has allowed us to do it. And he has given us the privilege to be able to serve him. So I realize how, on the one hand, yes, there's the aspect of the name of God, and it really brings in the aspect of relationship with God. And how do I actually serve God? Not from a point of just head knowledge and just saying I am doing this just so that people can be able to see me, but what is my heart posture even as I serve God? And have I been able to be so inducted into the culture of God so much so that even my intentions when I'm serving God are aligned to the purpose that the kingdom or the agenda of the kingdom insofar as the kingdom's culture is concerned.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow, I think that for me now, today I have a new revelation of the scripture in John 1:12. Mm. He has given us the power to become, some would say children of God, some would say sons of God.
Mm.
But essentially, when you are a child of a person, you take on their name, of mm-hmm. course. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the child of Mr. Mutiso because it's in my name, it's in my ID, it's all in my documents. So, in fact, I was being told something very interesting. In America, they call you by your father's name, mm-hmm. not by your first name, mm-hmm. which is very interesting. So when I come and think about it, when now we realize that God has given us the power to become his children, yeah.
mm-hmm.
he has given us basically the power to adopt his name,
mm.
and to adopt all the power, the boundless energy that comes with it, the revelations, the ability to break through every limitation.
Mm.
By consequence of being called a child of God.
Yeah.
And today I have really understood it from a whole new perspective. I am there because I am a child of God. He has granted me, I am Leli, the son of God.
Yeah.
Mm.
I have now taken up his name.
Mm.
It means now I have taken up every possibility that is in God.
Mm.
I am by consequence of accepting to be called his child. So if I'd say if anyone is in any place where you're feeling I am lacking something in my life, I have to understand that as a person, it is I am not conscious of the name I have. I am not conscious that I am the son of God.
That's true.
I am only conscious of my limitation instead of understanding that I have no limitation by reason of being son of God.
Mm.
So that is one of the, I think from this conversation, one of the greatest takeaways I'll go home with.
Yeah.
Think about.
Yeah, and as we finish, I think this is the reason why when you know God, you get to know yourself.
Yeah.
It is that simple. Mm. And that's why we strive to do that, even with our this broadcast as we usually fellowship together outside of this, when we have One Desire Fellowship, we strive to know who God is. And when we know Him, it is because when we know Him, we also get to know who we are, because we are positioned in Him. And so I'd really like you guys to share your perspective, share your comments. You can either share your comments on our YouTube channel just below on the comment section, or you can inbox us on Instagram or on Facebook. We'd really like to hear your thoughts on this. You can even share some scriptures that maybe are ministering to you, the very things that we are sharing here, because we know we may be sharing certain things and we're not really sharing references, but you may be getting them, and those references will bless somebody. And we're so grateful that you are able to join us. You are able to follow Spiritual Civilization. If you haven't been following these sessions, we have more than 24 episodes now, and you can just go and view on the playlist that we have. We're so grateful to have this opportunity. May God bless you. Thank you.